Well, good morning and welcome to church, wherever you may be. If you're warm, you're probably in a slightly better place than some of us are. It is freezing this morning on the Sunshine Coast. Those of you who are tuning in from around the world, it is really cold here this morning. It's colder than a mother-in-law's kiss, and that's cold. But it's been really chilly here this morning, but there's warm fellowship. Even there's only a few of us are allowed in the building at the moment, but it's great to have warm fellowship. I wanted to share a message today about where this church is going, because many people say, well, what's church going to look like? When's it going to come back? And some of you have said that to me, and I want to sort of plot that out a little bit here and share with you where I think the world is and where I think our church can fit into it. You know, this year, 2020, it was supposed to be the year of vision. Everyone said, 2020, it's got to be a year of vision. Well, I believe it still is. There's a verse in Habakkuk chapter 2 which says, you know, if it seems slow, wait for it. And I've got to tell you, the vision has been slow this year, hasn't it? Who'd have thought that 2020 would look like 2020 does? We've never seen it before in history. The coronavirus pandemic has afflicted the world for months now, and there doesn't look like any easing up of it in the near future. It's causing a near shutdown of life as we know it. We've got social isolation. We've got a climate of fear that still persists everywhere you go. And if you don't believe me, in this last week, two states away from where we are now, 37 people were diagnosed with the coronavirus. Two states away, so we're talking 2,000 kilometres away from where we are, and still in our shops there's been a run on toilet paper. What's the deal with that? People are so scared. They're worried about their toilet paper. You can see where our priorities lie in this country. You know, we might sing Advance Australia Fair, but I think a better thing to sing right now is Advance Australia Where? Because we don't know where Australia is advancing to, if it's advancing at all. Where do we go from here as a nation, as a church, as a people? What's in store for us in the coming years? Where is this vision going to take us and lead us? Well, let's just recap for a minute and I'll tell you what I know. I know the world is out of control right now. Does anybody agree with me? It's just crazy out there. You've got world leaders, you've got governments. Even the media have no idea where it's going. Imagine that. A current affair doesn't have all the answers. I'm shocked. But they're out there, the government and so on, they're passing laws and they're handing out money to people. But honestly, they have no clue, do they? They don't have a clue where this world is going. Human wisdom is failing us right now. But in a world, I can tell you this, in a world where people won't shake your hand, where football is played in front of a crowd of cardboard cutouts, I declare to you this day that God is still in control and that God is on the throne. And I don't care what they say, God is on the throne. See, none of this is a surprise to him. If you look at Isaiah chapter 46, if you have your Bibles open there, if you've got it memorized, good for you. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 to 10. It says this, God says this, listen to this. For I am God, there is no other God. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all of my purpose. See, God is God from the beginning. He is the Alpha and Omega. From before time till after time, God is God. This didn't come as a surprise. If you are fearful, if you are confused right now, it's time to put your faith in the one who knows the beginning from the end. The one who was God and was in control and created everything right through to he will be to the end of time and beyond. He is still God. He's someone we can trust. We don't need to depend on governments and decisions they make and crazy decisions. Ultimately, where we go as a people depends on our obedience to God because he's still in control. William Carey, the great missionary, said this, "The future is as bright as the promises of God." Isn't that true? Has God given you promises? Well, I tell you, the future is as bright as those promises. So why in the world, if God is in control, have we gone through 2020, this pandemic, such as the world has never seen? And why us? And why now? And why are we even here? Well, I believe God has you here for such a time as this. If you look back in the book of Esther, chapter 4, there's a message from Esther's uncle. And Mordecai, and he says to Esther, He's talking about Esther became queen, but her people were about to be persecuted, and she wanted to remain silent because that was the safe ploy. That was the, you know, quote unquote, smart thing to do. But Mordecai said this to her: if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? You see, God arranges stuff. He puts people in place. He brings huge wheels of time and government and the world and everything into being for such a time as this. And you can be part of that solution. You can be part of the way forward if you choose. See, I believe that God has great plans for us. And he has great plans for his people post-COVID-19. And many out there, even Christians, will stay silent and they'll just float along and they'll stay isolated from church. But thereby, they will miss out on God's plans because God has gathered us here for such a time as this. Now is not the time to down tools and walk away and isolate yourself. Now is the time to stand up and be counted. I believe that now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. While the rest of the world is taking cover, I want to take ground. I don't want to take cover. I believe God has great plans. So what do we as a church, I mean, what we're doing here as a church, some people don't even think it's important. But I believe right now as a church, we have a golden opportunity to speak into our people, both now and long into the future. I believe God has raised this time up, such a time as this, for us to stand together and to speak into a world that is lost. And this world is lost. But if we are willing to listen and be obedient, we can be the answer to the world's problems. Have a look at them. They don't have any answers. Jesus is still the answer. Always has been. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, it says this: if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat from the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And I believe that's a word to our hearts right now. If we are willing and we are obedient, we will see fruit. But if we are disobedient, if we step out of God's will, if we just start doing man's ways and man's solution, we will come to naught. See, right now there is costs out there. And for the first time in a long time, the world is starting to count the cost. Have you tried to wrap your head around what this pandemic means for the world economy, for example? I did a little bit of digging. The Asian Development Bank predicts that the economic cost of the slowdown due to the coronavirus could reach as high as $8.8 trillion. You don't even know what a trillion is. A trillion is 1,000 times a billion. So, you know, a billion is pretty big because that's 1,000 times 1,000. Well, can you imagine 1,000 of those billions? That's a trillion. And they're suggesting $8.8 trillion US dollars could be the cost globally of this pandemic. One Cambridge study actually suggests that the pandemic could cost up to $82 trillion over 5 years. Did you know, according to the ABC, that Australia is losing $4 billion a week as a result of this pandemic? $4 billion a week. Man, I'd work for 1 week and I'd be set. $4 billion, it's amazing. And what's the social cost? That's just economic. What's the social cost? The Australian Medical Association is predicting an increase in suicides as a result of the pandemic of between 25 and 30%. And reports of domestic violence, which is now called intimate terrorism, probably a good name, those reports have skyrocketed. And even in the church, with the draconian laws being made against it, they're saying that the number of people attending church when they do eventually open it up will be much less post-virus. See, Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says this: although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And that is the world right now. They think they're wise, but it's really foolish. No one has an answer. We don't have wisdom that can fathom where to go from here. I mean, look at the way that the world has tried to handle the pandemic. They've tried to be wise, but, you know, fair play to them. They've tried, but it hasn't worked out. Human reason is limited. Honestly, no one has a clue. So they changed the laws every 5 minutes. You know, we went through a state, I don't know if you remember, a few months ago when our Prime Minister announced new changes to the laws every week. That's never happened in history. It's usually really hard to get law changes. They're changing every week because no one has an answer. But I've got to tell you, in all of this, the church is under attack. You want to see persecution under a different guise? I believe our churches are under attack. The state government laws tell us that we can have up to, I think it's starting around about now, or is it next week or something like that, we can have up to 100 people attending church. Beauty, everybody says. Church is back on. Hang on. You must allow 4 square meters per person. Okay, that cuts the numbers down. Or, listen to this, or 7 square meters per person if singing is involved. Now, you tell me a church that doesn't sing. 7 square meters per person for church people. Stack that up against a sporting event. You're allowed 2,000 people to a sporting event with only 2 meters distance. And at a sporting event, they're likely to scream and yell and swear and spit on each other more than you are singing the praises of God. Where's the sense in that? A pub, 2 meters. They can play music. If you are at a pub or a club and they play Run to Paradise, everybody sings. Now, they're allowed to sing, but if you're a Christian, we bring in this special rule that says you have to have 7 meters per person. You tell me, is that persecution or not? Is that one rule for us and another rule for them? The Bible says this, though. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 2. It's important verses for us right now in Scripture. Romans 13 says this: let every person be subject to governing authorities, even if they're idiots. I'm sorry, that's not in there, but I just added it for effect. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. So, in answer to this 7 meter thing, yes, Ignite will be obedient to our government. We will be obedient because that is the right thing to do. But I call upon you, lawmakers, to stop persecuting and targeting the church and bring in one rule for everybody across the board. One rule for pubs, clubs, sporting events, and churches. Do not single out churches. Churches are useful. Churches are helpful to society. Suicide, mental health, and domestic violence rates are far less in the church than in the general population. So for the mental and spiritual well-being of your population, lawmakers, even the playing field out, leaving it out, and why don't we have the same rules for everyone? If you're going to say 7 meters, fair enough. Say for pub, clubs, and sporting events. But make us all the same. Don't single us out for persecution. Do I hear an amen from the few who are allowed to assemble here? David Bowie had a song that I quite like called Changes. I don't know if you remember that. Does anybody even remember David Bowie? A few of you, that's good. He had this song where he's, you know, changes. But whatever happens, changes are here to stay. Now, I wish change was really easy, don't you? I mean, people don't like change, but I wish it was really easy. I heard the story of an old man who came down from the mountains and took a trip to the big city. And he was there with his boy in a shopping center. There was an elevator right in front of him. And he watched as an old, haggard-looking woman hobbled onto the elevator. The doors opened, the doors shut. A few seconds later, the doors opened again, and out walked a beautiful woman. He said to the young boy, quick, go and grab your mother. I want to try her out on this thing. Because I wish change was that easy. I wish we could just walk in, close the doors, open it, and suddenly we would come out all changed and beautiful. But it just doesn't happen. Sadly, genuine change is not instantaneous. It's a process. And all of the changes we see around us make us uncomfortable. Is anybody really comfortable with change? I know I'm not. No one likes change. Mark Twain said the only person who likes a change is a wet baby. And he's probably right. So David Bowie sang, changes. And the next words of the song were this, turn and take the strain. See, changes make us strain. When changes come, we want to strain. We have to deal with it. It hurts. It's uncomfortable. But sometimes they're necessary. And I believe right now we need to embrace the changes that are necessary and take the strain like never before. But we can do so without fear, for the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. That's the fact. In fact, Psalm 91, verses 9 to 11, this particular psalm has been a beautiful psalm for those of us going through this pandemic. Listen to what it says. Verses 9 to 11 of Psalm 91 says this: "Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall befall you. No plague shall come near your tent." Let me say that one again. "No plague shall come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." See, that's the thing right now. God is guarding us. He's preserving us. But changes are inevitable. Changes might be uncomfortable, even unwelcome, but we can face them without fear, because our confidence is not in our routine. Our confidence is in our Lord. That's where our confidence lies. So if changes come, that's okay, because we can accommodate those changes with confidence. Now, let me tell you, I've been thinking and talking to a number of people, even a number of other leaders in their denominations, and the consensus is that the changes that we are seeing here are to stay, at least to a large degree. It's like a new life. You think back. If you think back to 9/11, September 11th, 2001, there were some massive things happened on that day when the two towers came down. I know in my family it was a little scary because I was flying to Europe that afternoon. So in the morning I watched the towers come down, and in the afternoon I flew to Europe. And my kids were terrified that Dad was going to get blown up, you know, mid-air somewhere. But after 9/11, certain things changed forever, especially in the world of security. So no longer are kids invited up to the cockpit to see how the plane works. That doesn't happen anymore. They've got, you know, bulletproof barriers between pilots and the crew. Now, no longer are you allowed to arrive late and rush onto the plane. There's this incredible rigmarole of security to even get on the plane. And those changes, that happened all those years ago, nearly 20 years ago, and those changes have remained. All the security has remained in place since that. What initially was very weird and very strange and a big change has now become the norm. And that's what it's probably going to be like with COVID. COVID will change how we live forever. Most of the changes, certainly many of the changes that we're seeing right now are likely to stay. Meetings via Zoom. I hate Zoom at this point. I wish I had shares in it, but I hate it. I'm so over talking to people down a little tube. But Zoom meetings are here to stay. People working from home has skyrocketed, of course. And probably some aspects of social distancing are likely to remain ad infinitum. These changes, many changes, are likely to become permanent. I'm guessing that football in front of cardboard cutouts and toilet paper shortages will probably go. But some of the changes will remain. So I said to the Lord in all of this, because people say, how are we going to change to deal with this in the short term? And I said to the Lord, I don't want to deal with this in the short term. I want to deal with it in the long term. If there are changes to be made, I've asked the Lord to show us what they are. I'm not interested in changing the way we do church for 6 months or a few months or a year or whatever it is to overcome the restrictions. I've asked God to give us keys on how we can do church long into the future and make it better. I want to improve our effectiveness as a church. Instead of pulling back in this time, I want to take ground, because I believe there are keys that we can get onto and understand. So let me ask you, what's the upside of the downturn? There's no doubt that the coronavirus has been responsible for many bad things, including people dying, economies collapsing, businesses ceasing, and mental health, who even knows? It's extreme. But Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. God's working for good. You may not be able to see it. We sang that song, Waymaker, even when I see it, when I can't see it, you're working. He's working. He never stops working. Even if we can't see it, he never stops working. And I believe that God can make lemonade out of lemons, don't you? I believe that God can bring something tremendously good out of this really bad situation. So what's the upside of the downturn due to Corona for Ignite? Well, let me give you some of the upsides. Number one, we're going live online. I always wanted to have a presence on Facebook. We now do. And we're going to get better and better at that as we go along. And the interesting thing is that the downloads of my sermon each week is far more than the people who used to be in the room listening to it. That's crazy. It's weird. It's all around the world. Here we are whinging about how cold it is on the Sunshine Coast of Queensland. And people who tune in Europe are going, ha, you guys are a joke. Because, you know, they know cold. We don't know cold. The second thing is that we invented this little thing called Sparks, which if you haven't seen it, it's every day on our Facebook page. We put up a special video, just a few thoughts to take into your day. Well, the Sparks give me the chance as a pastor to speak into the lives of people daily, not only our own community, but right across many, many, many people from outside of our church. We get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of downloads. So you tell me, is it a good thing that we're able to speak words of truth and life into people we don't even know about? It's a great thing. And hundreds of them, not one or two, hundreds of them. It's a lot of work, but I'm prepared to put the work in if I can just speak into someone's life and change their life for good. The third thing is that small groups have been formed in a few homes and they're going very well. There's great fellowship. There's great participation. The Holy Spirit is doing wonderful things in their midst. Shout out to those groups. And they're seeing visions and prophetic words, and there's some awesome things happening in small groups. So there's a key right there. Fourthly, we've ground to a halt as far as normal church is concerned, but I believe now we have the opportunity to make the changes that we need to move long into the future. So one of the great things is normal church, quote unquote, is not happening anymore. So we can ask the Lord for a direction from here. The fifth thing is that everything is different right across the world. Right across the world, things are different. Everything's different. Everything's changed. And even the way we go into shops and restaurants, it's all changed. And people are so open to being different right now. So for people in general and church people in particular, I believe we're more open to change now than ever before. Do you know, when the Titanic was around, it didn't last very long, but when it was around, it was the biggest ocean liner of its day and perhaps of all time, pretty close to. And it took 2.5 miles to turn the Titanic, to turn it 90 degrees, 2.5 miles, right? And sometimes it's even harder to turn a church because we're stuck in our ways. But what COVID has done has allowed us to reset so that we can go a different direction without having to go through the whole very slow rigmarole of 2.5 miles of turning. See, we've got to see the blessing. The glass is definitely half full, not half empty, because now, because everything's changed, now all of a sudden church people can say, stop. Okay, Lord, we've done church this way for centuries. What's the new direction? Show us where you want us to go as a church and as a people. And the sixth thing that we've learned from this pandemic is that people are not so much hungry for preaching or for worship. What they're hungry for is fellowship. I said it last week. You can get better preaching than mine online. You can get better worship than we had up here this morning online. Bigger, more smoke and mirrors and all that sort of stuff. But they're not your people. They're not your tribe. They're not your family. And I believe that what we're, the missing element here is fellowship. Everybody is isolated. You know, we want to reach out to one another. We want to have meals with each other. But we sit there in our isolation hoping it will change. And it will change for the good. So I guess the question is, how can we capitalize on these trends, on these things we've seen? What can we do as a church? What changes can we make as a church that will make us more powerful, reach more people, and setting more lives free in our community? Well, the way forward is the new norm. I was having a quiet time yesterday morning, and I was in the book of Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 9, the Lord spoke this to my heart. This was just in my quiet time. I added it into this message because it really hit me. God said this, "Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." And I said, brilliant. Please show me and tell me of these new things. Because, God, you know, we can all feel it. God's doing something new here. But I don't want good ideas. I want God ideas. I don't want to just change just to be, you know, changed. I want to follow the Lord because I believe if we get on a hold of these keys, our lives will be transformed forever. Our church will be transformed forever. So I said, Lord, bring it on and show me, because I'm ready and willing and listening and ready to be obedient. If you are waiting, if you are sitting around right now waiting for things to get back to normal, let me tell you could be waiting for a really long time. years, in fact. They tell us that most of us will not be allowed to travel overseas this year. We can't even travel to Victoria. And church will not get back to what it was pre-corona this year, possibly next year. So you're talking a long period of time. The way forward has got to be the new norm, not going back to what we were once. Because if you're waiting for that, you'll be waiting for a long, long time, if ever. So we need a new way of doing church that complies with the heavy-handed, abusive government laws, but still connects our people. So I prayed, and I've really been seeking the Lord about this. And after much prayer, I believe that God has given us a plan to move forward. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. We are not just sitting around thinking, oh, well, you know, we'll just hang on by our fingernails until it all blows over. It ain't blowing over anytime soon. So we've got to come up with a better plan than hanging on. You know, there's an old hymn that used to say, hold the fort for I am coming. I hate that. I don't want to hold the fort. I want to take ground. I don't want to hang on by my toenails and fingernails. I want to take ground. There are keys here, folks. If we get onto these keys, we can set ourselves up as a church for millennia to come. We really can. So after seeking the Lord, I've been asking Him for a plan to restart, call it reignite, church. And at the present time, and possibly for a long time to come, we will have restrictions in place in our auditorium. You are allowed to come to church in the next little while. A few extras will be allowed to come to church. You won't be allowed to sing, but you'll be allowed to come to church. And we're allowed to have a few people in here, and you'll have to kind of book and sign in and all that sort of stuff. But even with these terrible restrictions that we have no idea when they'll cease, I ask God for a plan. And as we always do, I want to hear from the Word of God. I don't want to hear your opinion or my opinion or the Prime Minister's opinion. I want to hear it from the Word of God. That's what I want to hear it from. And as I was searching, I realized that the early church in Acts faced the same problems we do, just in a different guise. They faced restrictions. They faced persecution. How did they handle it? How did the early church in Acts multiply and go crazy and take the whole world for Jesus when we're sitting around whinging about how cold it is or about, you know, how restricted and isolated our life is? Acts chapter 2, if you've got a Bible, this is a key verse. I want you to look at Acts chapter 2 because this is really key. I said, God, show us a pattern. Give us a clue on how we can move forward. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 to 47. This is what it says. Listen to this. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having found favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. I want to see people added to our number day by day, people being saved, don't you? That's what I want to see. I want to see people coming to Jesus. I want to see people who've wandered away from Him years ago coming back. I want to see people who have been disconnected from church getting connected to church. But what's the plan? Look at the start of that verse. Attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. See, that's the key right there. The key is that we have some of us attending the temple, some of us getting together doing church in a building, in this building, but then many of us also out there in homes breaking bread in small groups. That's the key. We've got to combine the two of those together. And I believe it's God's blueprint for us to grow and prosper as a church in this moment and maybe even long into the future. Because I'm not interested in a stopgap measure. I don't want to put a Band-Aid on a hemorrhage. As I look back at church, church as I know it in its form hasn't changed for as long as I've been alive. The songs have changed. The format has changed in a minor sense, but most things haven't changed. And I believe now is the moment when we can, and not just change it, we want to make it better. We want to make it greater. We want to make it more impactive than ever before. So let me ask you, with all of these changes I'm, you know, telegraphing to you, where do you fit? Do you fit at all? You fit right there. I believe there is a place. I believe there's a place at Ignite for you, every one of you. If you want to attend church and experience live church, you can come here. You might have to book in for a little bit, but you can come here. You can get church live. But we have limited spots. But you can still do that. If you want to experience close fellowship and would rather a smaller group, you're allowed to attend what we're going to call house parties. So we'll have a church party here, we'll have a house party out there, and many of them. So you've got the opportunity, you can flip between them. You can go to the house party one week, you can go to the church party the next week. There is opportunity for everyone to experience church the way they would like to do it. And in our house parties, what I'm going to ask the house parties to do, as some of them are now doing, is to put the message, the worship and the message, up on the big screen in their house, and then do the fellowship thing after that, where they can pray and they can seek the Lord as a small group. You see, we've got to stay together. Unity is the big thing. Unity is so important. We think other doctrines are important. We overlook the biggest one of all, which is unity. Stand together as one. Unity doesn't mean we agree with one another. We may not see eye to eye, but we can walk hand in hand. That's unity. So I'm never going to agree on every doctrine with you, nor you with I. But if we can push those aside, unless it's a salvation issue, I think we can agree to disagree and still be in unity. Because that's what unity is. So we're going to ask the small groups to be in unity with the bigger group. So here are three decisions I'm going to ask you to make this morning. The first is this. I'm going to ask you to reset your relationship with God. See, above all, I would urge you to, at this time, to reset your relationship with God. Some of you, frankly, if I can be so frank, have just let it slip. You're still a Christian, you still love God, but in all of the upheaval and the isolation, it's just quietly slipped through your fingers. You're just not spending the time with the Lord you used to, or you're not spending the quality time you used to. Now is the time to hit the reset button on that and start again. Now is the time to say, Lord, I want to get closer to you. It's the time to reestablish that relationship with the Lord. So start with your quiet time. Find some time in your day you can spend with the Lord one-on-one, you and him. Sit down with the Word of God, read it. We've got a Bible reading plan. It's free. It covers the exciting bits of the Bible in 1 year, just doing 2 chapters a day. You need to be reading the Bible every day. Why not follow our plan? It's interesting. It's fast moving. It moves around. And many, many people in this church are doing it. And it works really well. So join us on the Bible reading plan. Come and join us at church, either here or in a house party. Prioritize Jesus. I'm going to ask you, the first thing is reset your relationship with God and prioritize Jesus. Say, Lord, I want to see you in everything that goes on. I want to find your will and be obedient to your will in my life. The second thing I'm going to ask you to commit to is to commit to Ignite as your church community, no matter what. Now, why would I say no matter what? See, if you're willing and have an open heart, I believe God will give us insight and principles that will enable us to be closer than ever before, to be more powerful for the Lord than ever before, to grow more in our relationship than ever before. So God did it in Acts. Why can't he do it again? Why can't he do it right here? He did it in Acts. If we're obedient, he can do it at Ignite. Acts 2, verse 42, that same section of Acts, 42 to 44 says this. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. See, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. So I want to work on that model. We're going to have time for teaching, sure. A time for fellowship, that's really important. Even in the main church here, we're going to change the structure so that we can have a time for fellowship more in the church meeting itself. A time for breaking of bread, that's not just communion, that's sharing meals together. Right, communion. We've sort of like compacted it down to this little section where we get a little wafer and a little bit of, you know, that's not what that means. Breaking of bread is to share meals together. And I believe we're going to be able to do that. And also a time of prayer and worship. I think church at Ignite is going to be more exciting and engaging than ever before if we are obedient. So I'm going to ask you to commit yourself to church. You're going to see things you don't like. You're going to see things you're not comfortable with. Just go with it. We're not going to do anything that's heretical. We're not going to do anything that's going to cause you pain. We are going to do whatever we can to follow the Lord, but just commit to the church because it's going to be a time of flux. But then I believe we're going to be a mighty force for the Lord. The third thing is I'm going to ask you to be patient with us and with each other, because God's not finished with us yet. He's not done. We're not the completed article. I was actually doing some research for one of my sparks coming up yesterday. And you know how you get cosmetics, you get a before and after picture? This is what she looked like beforehand. And this is when we applied all this makeup. This is what she looks like now. And you would swear they had a different model. But anyway, you get the same for weight loss. This was Fred before he went on our program. Now look at Fred. And he's skinny and he's miserable in that picture and he's smiling in that way. You know, all that sort of stuff. Before and after pictures are very powerful. Well, here's the thing. As Christians, we get a before picture because we know how bad things were, but we don't get an after picture yet because we ain't done yet. God's still developing and working us. We'll get an after picture when we get to heaven. There is no after picture now because we can't have one because we're not done. God's not finished with us yet. So I'm asking you to be patient with us as we learn, as we as a leadership learn, as a worship team, as a preacher, as leaders, as we learn and understand what the Lord is saying. I'm going to ask you to commit to Ignite, believing that God is going to grow something truly powerful and profound in these dark times. Now, I've got to tell you, I'm the pastor of this here church. I don't have all the answers. People say, Pastor, what are we going to do about that? No idea. I don't have all the answers. Our worship team is trying to learn to worship in a deeper way. And you're going to watch. I would stay tuned over the next couple of months because our worship team is starting to really change and we're really going to see God do some beautiful and profound things in our worship team. But we're learning. We haven't arrived yet. Our group leaders, our facilitators, they're all learning how to lead discussions and how to pray for people more effectively. And we're all learning. We're all learning how to hear God more, how to move in the Spirit more, how to see more lives transformed, more miracles, more healings, more marriages restored, everything. But we haven't arrived yet. So my plea to you is please be patient with one another. Don't say, oh, you should have done better than that. Like, if we fail, which we will at some point, I apologize, we'll know that we've failed, trust me. You know, we are trying to find God in all this. I read a meme. Talking about patience, I read a meme recently. I thought it was really cool. The meme said this: Lord, bless me with patience. Not the opportunities to be patient. I've had plenty of those and they don't seem to be working. I mean the actual patience. And isn't that what it's like? You know, we cry out for patience, but we don't want the opportunity to exercise that. We just want the patience. I believe we are about to see the church change as it has never changed before in history. And at Ignite, I believe we'll discover incredible keys that will enable us to reach our community more profoundly and more effectively than ever before. So I ask you this morning, come and stand with us. Come and join with us, believe with us, and together we can build the church that God has destined us to be. See, Jesus is still praying his high priestly prayer, which he prayed in John chapter 17. He said this: Lord, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they may also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus was praying. The last lengthy recorded prayer that Jesus ever prayed on earth, he was praying for his people to be one. He was praying for them to stay together, to be in unity. So I'm going to ask you to join me as we wrap it up this morning. It's a little bit different this morning because it's, you know, we're dealing with where the church is going. I want to speak into this over the next couple of weeks, but I believe we are on the crest of a wave. I believe that we are on the edge of the greatest opportunity in our history, in living memory. I believe that God's about to do something profound. And my plea to you is come with us. It's God's favorite word, come. Come with us. Because together, I believe we can make a difference. Don't worry that you're different to everybody else. We are family. We are one. And God has an incredible future for us as a church and for you as an individual. And who knows if he hasn't brought you here for such a time as this. Would you bow your heads and pray? I just want to pray with us all together. I want to pray a prayer and I want you to repeat this after me because I want you to join with us, to stand with us, to be one with us, that together we might see this community, this nation transformed for Jesus Christ. So pray this with me. Lord Jesus, make Ignite my home. I join my hands and I join my heart with Ignite to build the church you want in this dark hour. Lord, help me to be patient. Help me to be obedient. But who knows if you haven't brought me here for such a time as this. Lord, I believe that you've just laid that prayer on our heart this morning. Father, we as a church community commit ourselves, number one, to you, and number two, to each other. And Lord, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. It's you. We know, Lord, that you have great plans and a great destiny for us, and no law and no fear can keep us from the destiny you have for our lives. So right now, Lord, we commit ourselves to you, to each other, and to the expression of God in this place at Ignite. Father, I pray that you would take us, use us, show us, and Lord, may we be obedient to the calling that you have upon our lives. We just commit our lives to you as a church and say, have your way, Lord God. When you called out, Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. Well, that's what we're saying as a church. Say it with me, church. Here am I, Lord, send me. Say it with me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Oh, Lord, use us, we pray. We will be obedient. No matter how uncomfortable, we will be looking to you. No matter how fearful we might be, we trust you with our lives, with our future, with our homes, with our destiny, and with our church, Lord God. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, I pray, and bind us together as one. As you and the Father are one, Lord, make us one. That we might take ground instead of taking cover. That we might stand up in this hour instead of standing down. Lord, we commit our lives to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.